Welcome to the Hustle Up podcast, the podcast that shares the unique stories of startups, side hustles, and the self-employed. I'm your host, Josh Burrell. Today I'm speaking to Charlotte Curran, the founder of Artemis, a Manchester-based jewellery and accessories brand. In 2014, Charlotte started making jewellery as a side hustle when she was at college, but over the pandemic, Artemis became a fully-fledged business. As a Young Entrepreneur of the Year finalist at the Great British Entrepreneur Awards in 2021, we'll delve into how she juggled running the business in Manchester with studying for her master's degree. Hi, Charlotte.
Hi, how are you doing?
I'm good, thank you. How's your Christmas and New Year? I know that you were expecting a bit of a rush from Black Friday onwards.
Yeah, Black Friday was crazy. It was definitely the busiest time I've ever had. So once that was done, I was kind of like just super excited for the break. And yeah, I feel like it went super quick, but I'm very excited to be back at it now.
Yep, back into 2022.
Exactly.
And did you have a good Christmas personally? Did you manage to avoid coronavirus?
I did. You know, I feel like I'm the only person I know who hasn't, touch wood, had it yet.
Fingers crossed it stays that way.
I've avoided it so well and I'm so proud of myself.
So I like to take it back to the beginning on the podcast, back to like growing up. How was life growing up for you, your family life? Where did you live and what sort of things were you interested in?
Yeah, so I was brought up in a small town in the north, just a very normal working class upbringing, really. I'm the youngest of three, so I've got an older brother and older sister. And yeah, just very normal state school. And yeah, just very humble beginnings, I'd say.
Cool. And what sort of things were you interested in? Were you entrepreneurial before you started selling jewellery?
You know, people ask me this question, and it's really funny because I don't think I could have told you what an entrepreneur was until I became one. But now looking back, it seems like it was always going to happen with just not necessarily my interest, but just my personality as a child. Okay. And just being very defiant and very headstrong. It just kind of made sense. And to be honest, I think I had every single passion or interest you could ever have had, whether that was like fashion, sports, music, it was all of it. I had it at some point. And I still think I'm a bit like that. So yeah, I think I've always just been a little bit of an entrepreneurial spirit and I guess business minded, but I never really realized it until I became an entrepreneur.
Okay. I'll move on to university life in a bit, but I read that you started making the jewelry when you were about 16. So how did that start before it became a big business?
Yeah. So this is quite a funny story. So I'd had like little part-time jobs, you know, when you're like 14 and you're like cleaning, you're helping your mum's office and things like that. And when I turned 16, I was really excited to get like a proper official job. So I got a job as a waitress in my local like pizzeria, like a cafe. And I was so bad at waitressing. I basically got fired within 6 weeks because I was so terrible. And you honestly think, how can anybody mess that kind of job up? But I found a way. And yeah, so I had gone in for a meeting with them and they were basically like, you're not very good at this. It's not really working out. You know, that that period where it's like a trial period run out and they were like, you might want to try and find something else. Yeah. And I was so upset. I was like, this is my first job. Like, I've just finished high school. And I'm just like, I just wasn't feeling very confident. So that day, I think I went, my mum picked me up and I was like, I don't want to work for other people. I don't like when people tell me that I'm not good because I know that I am. And I had that sort of frustration. And it was that day that I came up with the name Artemis. I decided to buy some supplies and just kind of went for it because this was like 2014. So early days of Instagram where those sort of small businesses were cropping up and I was personally buying from them. So yeah, that was the day of conception, I guess.
Oh, that's brilliant. As a 16-year-old, I guess that's a big weight on your shoulders.
Yeah.
We'll move on to uni life. So I know that you did a BA and a master's in philosophy.
Yeah.
Which unis did you go to and were you always quite interested in the subject?
So I went to the University of Edinburgh to do my 4-year undergrad. And then I came to Manchester, which is quite close to where I grew up, to do my master's at the Uni of. And I honestly hadn't I've always been very academic. Even from very young, I was always into reading and writing. I was always in top sets. I'd always get really good grades. But philosophy was not something I really knew existed until I ended up taking it in college. And the only reason I took it was because I wanted to actually go to music school and become like a famous rock star and like do that whole thing. But I did so well in my GCSEs that my mom had kind of said to me like, okay, why don't we try and do the academic stuff first and then see, you know. So we literally just went through my GCSEs and whatever I got an A star and I did at college. So I got an A star in RE and the closest thing was philosophy and ethics. So when I took it at college, I basically just fell in love and that's what I was just been studying for the last like 7 years now.
Brilliant. And would you still have the rock star dream or is that to one side now?
Maybe one day, maybe in my 50s, I'll just be rocking it and I'll decide to go back to that dream. Like I said, I have so many dreams and so many passions and interests. I'm sure I'll go swing back around to that at some point. But yeah, that was a very strong one when I was like 14, 15, I guess.
Okay. And then after the master's, did you consider working in the philosophy field in any way? Or did you know that your heart was kind of set on, like you say, not working for someone else?
Yeah, so I finished my master's probably about 6 months ago now, and I'd gained traction with Artemis during my master's. So I was planning on doing a PhD after my master's had finished. But at that point, I was like, okay, I've been in education since I was like 4 years old. Yeah. I'm a bit tired. Like, I just want a bit of time off. And obviously, I had the luxury to just go straight into this job that I love, that I have a lot of freedom with, and I don't really have to answer to anybody. So I was like, I'm just going to give myself a bit of time off and just to do this. And it fell into place really, really well.
And just for anyone listening, obviously it's audio that they'll be listening to, how would you describe what Artemis jewelry and accessories look like?
So Artemis is, I guess, inspired by, obviously Artemis is a Greek goddess, so inspired by that sort of Greek mythology and philosophy and my love of that, as well as astrology and star signs and everything like that. I'm trying to get it to be a bit more unisex, but it's all silver jewelry, it's all handmade, and yeah, it's like my child now.
I looked at your Instagram a little bit, and yeah, you say a bit more unisex. I think there is quite a pink palette on there, but yeah. I guess the actual jewelry itself doesn't lend itself to any specific gender wearing the jewelry, so I think it's definitely something that could be open. And what made you want to make Artemis into a business rather than just a side hustle? How did it grow in the pandemic? And did you have to do anything differently during the pandemic?
Yeah, so I had taken a break from Artemis during uni because I was only really selling like through Depop and it wasn't really making much money. It was just like a bit of a hobby. And then it was when maybe 2 months into lockdown where I was finishing up my finals for my undergrad in Edinburgh and I was just really bored. Yeah. As a lot of people were, I was just like going a bit crazy and I really don't like to sit still, so that was not a good environment for me to be in. And I kind of just had the idea of like, okay, why not just set up the Artemis Instagram again and just see what happens. So for me, it was, I don't think I ever intended it to become what it did, but I think in the beginning I was just very focused on having something to do with my time so I didn't go insane. So yeah, I think it very much just started as a way to kill time and then it just gradually grew and grew and then it sort of took over any other jobs that I would want to do because it filled everything that like satisfied every need that I had.
Yeah.
So that was kind of it.
Were your parents quite supportive when you said, I'm going to do this full time, I'm going to work for myself and make this jewellery?
I don't think I told them. I probably didn't tell them. I'm kind of one of those people where it's like, what is it? Ask for forgiveness and not permission.
Yeah, it's a good way to live.
Yeah. So, and I think I'm still very much like that in my own life with everyone around me. I like to keep things quiet until I've figured it out myself because I, like I said to you before, like I have so many ideas and so much happening in my brain all the time that if I told everybody every idea I had and what I was going to do, they'd be like,
oh my God, not another one, not another crazy business venture.
So yeah, I don't think I told them until it was like making me money and I was in a comfortable position. And then they were really super supportive at that point. I don't think they maybe understand what's happening with the sort of social media world and how that works. But, you know, I think that's very common.
Cool. I know you've had rapid growth since 2020 onwards. You've now got some colleagues and you've got an office space. How's that been going from sort of, I guess you were making them at home to then moving to this office and employing colleagues now?
Yeah, it's been a really interesting change because when I'd moved to Manchester, I was making all the jewellery literally my kitchen table for like 9 hours a day, fulfilling orders on my own. And I just remember thinking like, my back is hurting so much. Like, this is just the worst. And sort of just dreaming of that team and that office space. And when it happened, it kind of seems like the business was split into like two, into like before the office and the team and then after. And everything after has just been amazing. It's been such a good environment for me because obviously I'm in the driver's seat and I get to create exactly the environment that I want to be in, which has just been really, really just, it's been life-changing, honestly. And it's been amazing for me personally. To be surrounded with people who, you know, are just real positive influences on me. And I think that's really difficult going into corporate jobs or people with existing teams. There are always going to be, you know, things or people you don't enjoy about it. But I've gotten to make all those decisions, which is amazing.
Brilliant. And I guess you like your two colleagues because you hired them and female run business. So I'm sure they're the best people for the job as well.
Yeah, of course. Of course.
And you mentioned sort of the 9 hours of making the jewellery by hand. So is everything still handmade? What was the process before? Is it quite difficult to make your own jewellery?
It's not difficult. I think anybody could do it, to be honest. I have just gotten really quick at it, which obviously over the years. So yeah, it started with me just making everything myself. And obviously I've started to offload that. But I've also made a lot of decisions with like my product range. So now it was like, I was just making so many necklaces and it was so time consuming. I was like, hey, is there other ways of, I don't know, creating products that are quicker to make or that can just go straight into the post? So that's when I've started to collaborate with other jewelry makers. So it just makes my life a whole lot easier.
I know you donate 10% of your profits back to local charities in Manchester. Mm-hmm. What made you want to do that? And what are some of the charities you've supported so far?
That's a really good question. So we've supported the Proud Trust was the first charity that we worked with, who support young LGBTQ+ people in Greater Manchester. And they are such an amazing charity. And we worked with them, I think, a year ago now. And the reason I wanted to give back was because I definitely worked hard in this position to get to where I am, but I am not ignorant to the fact that I'm very fortunate and privileged to be able to do this.
Yeah.
And I think that it was very apparent when I started to earn a lot more money and bigger profits. And there was still a bit of that like working class kid, you know, the poor kid inside me that was like, you know, there are things that you can do with your money to just make a difference. So why not? You know what I mean? I think it would be silly not to. And to get into that habit as soon as possible, I think is great for entrepreneurs and CEOs and things like that.
Brilliant. And I think for a small business to do something that's selfless rather than just focusing on yourself and making as much money and being quite greedy, I think it's quite nice to give back. And the fact you've done it so early on in the business is really great.
Yeah, absolutely.
And you've had some good recognition in the past year or so. You got nominated for that Young Entrepreneur of the Year at the Great British Entrepreneur Awards. How was that experience? Was there a big award ceremony or was it on Zoom? And how did you feel when you got the nomination?
Yeah, so when I got the nomination, it was a real like pinch me moment. I don't think it really set in until very recently, actually, because when I started to look at the past winners and the judges and things like that, I was like, oh my God, I'm so out of my depth. This is crazy. Are you sure you have the right person? But yeah, there was a big award ceremony. I couldn't go, unfortunately, but yeah, it was such an amazing opportunity and so much has come from that. So yeah, that was definitely a highlight from last year for sure.
Did you get any like networking opportunities with any of the other entrants, or did you get mentoring or anything off the back of it?
Yeah, I got a lot of people on LinkedIn would connect with me, and I've gotten quite a lot of contacts from that, which has been amazing, because I find that networking is quite it's like an afterthought of being an entrepreneur. You don't really prioritize that in the beginning, because you're like, I've got a business to run, like you know, that's the most important thing. And then once people started to reach out and be like, oh, I've noticed you're nominated, I'm like, okay, yeah, this is quite good. So actually that nomination gave me so much more than just the recognition. It was, you know, the contacts and opportunities as well.
My next question is probably moving on to sort of the business and the makeup. So in terms of things like sustainability, I saw you were looking to become a bit more climate positive and offset carbon emissions. Has that been quite a tough thing to try and implement, or is it fairly simple with what you do with the jewellery?
Yeah, I think there's a lot of change that needs to be done in this sector, especially with fashion brands. I think fast fashion, I honestly can't imagine it lasting longer than 10 years. I think the shelf life on that is really short now, with the awareness of what's going on. So for me, I was doing a lot of research into how to, you know, offset my carbon emissions and be climate positive. And it was really difficult to do, because I think there's a lot of research out there, there's a lot of information about, you know, climate change and the effects, but it's hard to know as a business owner and an individual what you can do, and having that power to actually do something about it. Yeah. So I know that a lot of companies will just pay to offset the emissions, which I see as kind of, I don't know, it doesn't really make sense to me, because it's like you're still contributing to that. So it just doesn't make any sense to me.
Yeah. Rather than reducing, they're just trying to use money to fight the problem then.
But I don't think that that's even possible to do, because it doesn't reverse it, you know, in the beginning. So for me, a big part of what I was doing was looking at my supply chain and just trying to source as much as I can. I think we're up to like 95% of supplies from the UK, which obviously is something that's really important to me and was definitely a task. But that was a really positive change.
Okay. And do you use anything like recycled materials, or is it all new stuff that you use to make the jewellery?
So all of our packaging is all recyclable and reusable. And it has been probably since the start, to be honest. And obviously all of our jewellery, we're trying to go into more like tarnish free, so that it just lasts forever. That you can buy a necklace and that will last you for years and years and years. So that's something we've literally just implemented maybe 2 weeks ago, is changing the materials so that they last a lifetime.
Oh, brilliant. You talked a bit about sort of fast fashion and fashion design. I saw something on Instagram this week, and it was another case of an independent designer having their designs copied. Mm. How do you combat that? Or is that something that's become an issue at all in the jewellery and accessory space? Have you had to deal with other brands trying to basically sell exactly the same thing as you've designed?
Yeah, probably when I started, maybe 2015, there was actually a person who had copied the exact layout of my site. The it wasn't Artemist, but it was like Athena Accessories or something. And they copied and pasted every single product photo I had.
Oh, God.
And I was like, I'm a very feisty person anyway. So if somebody's stealing my stuff, that's like, I hit the fan. So I was like, how old was I? Like 16, 17, like contacting the website provider, like they're scamming, they're copying. And I think as I got older, I definitely don't really take much notice of it anymore.
Okay.
Because I just think, you know, I've got quite a big community now. I've got quite a big following. And if somebody is going to copy what I do, you know, maybe they're starting from zero. I don't think it's just the products that are going to make their business successful. So even if they were to copy my photos or my, you know, designs, it's still like they can't steal my business and my ideas and my work and everything like that. So not that I encourage it in any way, but I think it's so hard to manage, because they always just crop up. I always get DMs of this person's using your photos or whatever it is. And I think I just got to the point where I was like, my energy just shouldn't be on that. I need to just focus on what I'm doing and making sure that my community are going to stay with me. And that's, you know, that's the main thing.
Yeah. And I guess Artemis is more of a brand than just the products. You've got that whole holistic thing of we are Artemis and this is what you stand for, rather than someone who's just copied your pictures or copied your designs and stuck another name on it.
Exactly.
I was going to ask also about competition. So how do you guys stand out from the crowd, or what do you do that's different to sort of other jewellery brands?
I get asked this question a lot in terms of like, jewellery and accessories is such a big market. Like, why would you go into such a huge market that already exists? And I think that's probably one of the biggest errors or like misconceptions that entrepreneurs have. Because I think a lot of people just expect to have an original idea or create a new market. And that is almost impossible. It's almost impossible to do that. So for me, I always had the intention of like, I'm just going to do this because I want to do it. And I was never really thinking about competition or anything like that until we sort of gained traction. And now I see competition as such a positive thing. I see it as a driver for me, because I'll see other brands doing amazing things or achieving great things. I'm like, that inspires me. That motivates me. And what's happened now is, because I have such a big platform, especially with my website, I get a lot of site visitors. I've actually been contacting my competition and saying, let's collaborate on products and Brilliant. Let's put them on the site. So I think we're maybe 4 or 5 small businesses now. We're stocking their products on our site, and we're obviously doing a split. And I think it's like collaboration over competition all the time. I just see it as really talented, amazing people doing the same thing that I'm doing. And I think it's great. And I'll never really have that envy of it, because I think, you know, people are just trying to do what I'm doing. And, you know, I think there's space for everybody.
Yeah. And I guess it must be quite flattering as well if people are, one, trying to copy you, or two, want to work with you and do a similar thing. So yeah, that's brilliant.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
In terms of the best part of running a business, what would you say is the best part about running Artemis?
The best part about running Artemis is that I can wake up at 11 a.m. and nobody's blowing up my phone. I haven't got a manager saying to me, where the hell are you? That's probably my, if I'm being brutally honest, my favorite thing is that it's all just on my terms and I have so much freedom.
Yeah.
But I think if I'm to give the better answer, it's definitely when I get messages and comments from people when they're just like, oh my God, your jewelry is amazing. I have gotten compliments every single time I wear it, or, you know, I'm never buying jewelry from anybody else. Like, you're my brand. And that's amazing. And when also I can support those small businesses that I love, when I'm supporting micro influencers and, you know, giving them gifted collaborations that maybe they've never had that opportunity before. It's those kind of experiences and the collaborations that really just fulfill me as a person.
Okay. And you mentioned working with influencers. Do you do that a lot? How does it work? Does someone have to approach you, or do you have a list?
So it's both, actually. So we have influencers who we do gifted collaborations with, and those people, actually, we basically looked at everybody who had a good following, who had the same sort of, you know, style that we did and that had maybe bought from us before. Mm-hmm. So there was a girl who, I think she only had about 3,000 followers, and she just organically bought from us, and she did these amazing Instagram stories unboxing and saying like, oh my God, this jewelry is amazing. And I just messaged her and I was like, do you want to influence for us? And she was like, oh my God, that's amazing. So it came quite organically. We were never really like writing just lists and lists of emails of people we wanted to reach out to with hundreds of thousands of followers. It was just a very organic, like, you know, people had bought from us and we just contacted them and just said like, we love your photos. Can we have more of that, please?
Okay. So gifted is obviously where you send them the products. Do you have any specific influencers you work with over and over who are sort of ambassadors for the brand?
Yeah, so we have the gifted influencers, which I think are three of them. Okay. And they're all micro-influencers. And then we also have affiliates who are like brand ambassadors. And I think now we're maybe up to about 20. So this is a very recent thing that I've implemented, is our affiliate scheme. So that's, again, a way of working with people who were fans of the brand, who had bought from us before, and are maybe trying to get into Instagram influencing or social media marketing, things like that, and just giving them the opportunity. So that works in a way where if people reach out to us, we'll sort of say, okay, would you be interested in being an affiliate and getting a code, and then obviously just earning a commission on sales? And that's been really successful. And again, that's something that I feel really proud of, where it's people with maybe only 500 followers, but they're really passionate about creating content and influencing. And I think if we can be the first brand that can sort of kickstart that and give them that confidence to, you know, reach out to bigger brands or build their portfolio, then that makes me really, really happy.
Okay. I don't know if you want to name drop any celebs, if you've had any celebrity orders, but who would be your dream celeb that you'd love to see wearing Artemis?
Oh, that's a good question. I honestly don't know. I think I really love people like Sammy Jeffcoat. I love the very heavily tattooed influencers. Belle Jordan, she's great. So yeah, Jamie Genevieve, just, I love that aesthetic of the very sort of heavy metal, tattooed female. Yeah, it's great.
Okay. I've asked you about sort of the best part of running the business. In terms of when things go wrong, have there been any major mistakes? And how do you stay positive when things do go wrong?
There's definitely been a lot of operational nightmares, for sure. There's been times where, you know, we've had a big sale or a big rush, and then some stock hasn't arrived on time, or it's been delivered to the wrong place, and then I'm buying a replacement and then the replacement is delayed, and all of that good stuff. Or like very recently, we've had the Christmas rush and posting has just been an absolute nightmare. We've probably had the most number of customers saying, where's my parcel? I've ordered it tracked and it's just gone missing. And obviously there's nothing really in my power where I can track that down or find out what happened. So there's times where I do feel quite powerless, but it's just trying to gain back control in that situation. And I think I am naturally very good at problem solving, especially from, you know, a philosophy background. Critical thinking is just my brain 24/7. So I think it's just knowing that as long as I'm doing all that I can, it'll be fine. Like, it will be absolutely fine. So yeah, there are times where things go wrong, and it's all part of the package. Because if I have all of this freedom and this amazing team and all of this control, like, it's not going to be just amazing all the time. There are going to be the points where you've got like, oh God, if I was in an office right now, a corporate environment, this wouldn't be happening. People wouldn't be customer service emailing me at 2 in the morning.
No.
But yeah, it's all part of it.
And what are your sort of biggest personal achievements outside of running Artemis?
Outside of running Artemis, I would say it's been my personal development journey and my mental health journey. I think, like every young person, you know, you go through periods of anxiety or depression. And especially during uni, that was very, very like rife for me. And obviously during lockdown, I think everybody went through that. So the thing that I'm most proud of is just my self-improvement and, you know, and trying to improve in every single way that I can, improving my relationships, improving my health, my well-being, and all of that. That's definitely the biggest achievement.
Brilliant. That kind of leads on to the next question of, how do you wind down outside of work? What sort of things do you do to de-stress or get your mind off work?
Yeah, that's a good question. I should probably do more of that because I am still replying to the customer service at 2 in the morning, which I should have some boundaries with for sure. But I love just spending time with the people that I care about and the people that I love. And I always think that having those days where you can just turn your phone off and just be away from the laptop, be away from technology, and just have a laugh is perfect. But recently, I'm very happy that concerts are back and gigs are back. Obviously, the little rock star in me was just a big fan of live music. So when that came back, I was pretty pretty excited.
Do you go on holidays much? I guess probably not so much during the pandemic, but do you have like a dream destination or anywhere you've been that you'd love to go back to?
Yeah, definitely. I am craving a holiday very, very badly. I haven't been on holiday for about 3 years now. So I'm definitely due one. But I'd say probably my favorite place that I've traveled to was Barcelona. Okay. Absolutely loved it. I probably do prefer a city holiday over like a beach break. So I'd love to go to like Tokyo. I'd love to go to New York, LA. I've literally never been to America or anywhere outside of Europe. So I have a lot of places to explore.
The last place I went before the pandemic all kicked off was New York in November 2019 for my birthday.
Was
really, really good. Loved it. There's always something going on and it is the city that never sleeps because there was bars, there was comedy clubs. Yeah, something to do in every corner of the city as well. And lots of nice food options as well.
Oh, for sure. I would literally roll back from all the pizza I would eat.
Yeah, it was good stuff. In terms of the business, going back to Artemis, have you had any guidance from anyone in setting up? Do you have a mentor and do you take any inspiration from other founders or other businesses?
That's a great question. I haven't really had any mentoring. I literally taught myself everything that I needed to know. So I did like a digital marketing course about Facebook ads. Every single part of the business, I just completely researched myself and learned it, because I always thought that all of the skills that go into creating a business and marketing, product development, if I just become really well versed in all of these, for whatever reason, if Artemis does, I don't know, the Instagram account gets hacked and I'm at zero, then I think it would be really easy to one, start over again and create another business, or two, walk into any kind of job that I would want, because I have the experience of not only, you know, managing people, developing product lines and making a website, like literally everything, every skill I could possibly learn, I just taught myself. Brilliant. Because I thought there's no other opportunity to learn all of this stuff. So I'm just going to do it. And I am a perfectionist, so I don't think I would have allowed anyone else to do it. So yeah, that was one of the better parts of the journey for me. Yeah, I am always just on Instagram looking at other founders. Obviously, Grace Beverly is huge. Yeah. Stephen Bartlett, I am very inspired by. I listen to a lot of his podcast.
You're going to be watching Dragon's Den tonight?
Oh, I forgot it was tonight. I will definitely tune into that. I'm actually quite excited. I used to watch it as a kid and like The Apprentice and stuff like that.
Tonight as well. It's a big
night. Oh, is it? Yeah. God, business reality TV is definitely the one. So yeah, Stephen Bartlett is definitely a huge inspiration for me at the moment, for sure.
Are there any exclusive announcements for people listening, or where would you like to be in a few years' time?
Okay, that's a good one. Can I give any announcements?
Any juicy exclusives?
Oh, juicy exclusives. We are going to be doing another product collection. So we have like a 2022 collection dropping.
Okay.
I'm actually not sure of the date, but it should be in the next sort of 2 weeks or so. And then we're also going to do a big Valentine's Day drop, which I was not prepared enough for last year. So this year it's happening. That could be a little exclusive. And my plans are, I would just like to automate and delegate as much as I can so that I can help other business owners. I'm actually going into like consulting and coaching with other small businesses and just helping them grow their brands and their social media and things like that. So that's
awesome.
That's going to be future plans.
Nice. And you mentioned earlier there were loads of business ideas swirling around in your head. Mm-hmm. Are there any that you've tried and failed, or tried and thought, actually, this isn't quite right?
Oh, definitely. I wanted to create a community for like self-development junkies,
okay.
which didn't really see the light of day. And then I also did one where it was like an email newsletter for e-commerce owners,
okay.
and like interviews with them, which did all right, but I just didn't have the time to really see it through. So maybe I'll revisit that at some point. But yeah, definitely a lot of ideas that never really saw the light of day.
Yeah.
But who knows what will happen.
Nice. And yeah, I think I find the same. There's only so many hours in a day, and even running the podcast alongside the day job is tough, and trying to think about what I'm going to do next and who I'm going to speak to next does take up a little bit of time, but I'm sure you'll continue to have great ideas and progress with them as well.
Thanks. Yeah, I can assume as well, like, if you've got a full-time job, like, prioritizing that time outside of work is like the most important thing. So when you have that like couple of hours, even like the pressure to do the right thing or like the most important thing is the hardest bit.
Definitely. On to recommendations. So any books, films, TV shows or podcasts that you've enjoyed? So they can be business related or they don't have to be. They could be things that you've just generally liked recently.
Oh, that's a good one. Obviously, Diary of a CEO. I think every entrepreneur should find at least one guest that you sort of know or resonate with. The books that I've been loving, I would say the two books that changed the way I think were Lost Connections by Johan Hari, an amazing book. And also Maybe You Should Talk to Somebody by Laurie Gottlieb. I would recommend that to every single person, whether you're an entrepreneur or not. So they're probably the two books I would recommend. And in terms of films and TV, I'm very like, I love the old school, like Trainspotting, like Pulp Fiction, you know, just the
classics.
Exactly.
Going back to the books, so do you find that mindset has been something that's really helped you in business? And what would you say are the key strengths that have helped you develop as starting out as a one-woman band in business?
I would honestly say that mindset is the only thing you really have to have. I don't think you need any skill. I don't think you need any kind of personality traits in the beginning. As long as you have the mindset that you, or like the eagerness to learn, like you're set. You're absolutely set. Because I, even the way that I manage people, I went into it like, I'm so excited to like make so many friends and like just be the best boss ever. And then I'm like, okay, a year later, I'm like, that was the wrong approach. That was a bad idea. So for me, it's just the, as long as you learn from your mistakes, as long as you're growing, as long as you're looking at every single thing that's happening and just thinking, can I do that better? Can I improve myself in this situation to make it better? So mindset, that growth mindset is everything, honestly. Because like I said, I went into the business, like I had no formal business education. I didn't go to business school. I didn't actually go to any of my business classes in college because I thought it was too easy and I was very cocky. So yeah, I didn't have any formal business training. I had no idea about the Instagram algorithm or supply chains and anything like that, or managing people, no experience. But I just had the mindset to just be like, I'm going to do this. I'm going to just teach myself everything. And I think that was probably the one key to success that I could say that I have.
Excellent. And you say you do everything. Do you do even the stuff down to things like taxes? Because I think that's something that a lot of people complain about when they come on this podcast.
It's so funny. I was helping my boyfriend with his tax return. He's like, who taught you this stuff? How do you know all of this stuff? And I'm like, I just taught myself. I literally did. And I ended up getting an accountant maybe probably about 8 months ago, because I didn't know that was something that you needed as a business owner. And getting a business bank account, my accountant was literally like tossing and turning, being like, why didn't you set up a business bank account in the beginning? And I'm like, I didn't know it was going to be a business, you know, and all of these things. I'm like, oh, I should have done that. But yeah, I was doing everything from the nitty gritty finances and literally logging every single order that came in into like Google Sheet. Yeah.
Gosh, do you still have all those old documents from when you started out?
Yeah, I do. They're probably taking up so much space. I need to like get rid of them because they're so clunky. But yeah, I do.
So what would you say to someone that was looking to start their own business, but not entirely sure if it's the right thing to do?
I would say, do not quit your day job. I think that is the most reckless advice you could give to somebody in that position. Don't quit your job. Definitely don't do that. I have been doing this for 7 years and I've had
God knows how many part-time jobs.
Yeah.
So I could save and invest and, you know, education at the same time. So I had a plan A, plan B. I think be smart about it. You know, don't just throw all your eggs in the basket. That's honestly, I don't know anybody who does that or has done that. So yeah, I'd say just be very smart about it. And also just don't listen to anybody. You will know whether it's right. You will know whether it's the right time. I think just listen to yourself and just do what you love and what you're passionate about and what you think is right in the moment. And that might change. You know, you can start it and be like, nah, I'm not into it. But I don't know what you could lose, because even if you've lost money or time, it's the amount of lessons that you can get from that is endless. So,
and I liked what you said earlier about not asking for permission and just going for it. Exactly. And seeing what happens. I guess you never know unless you try, do you?
Exactly. And I think I definitely, this is something I need to work on, but I have a huge fear of judgment. I'm always scared of what people are going to say or think. But if you are going into, I don't know, a business or creating something, you can just do it on the down low. Like, you don't have to tell anybody, like I did, because I didn't know what people were going to say. And I'm not very good at telling people no, or, you know, standing up for myself very much. But yeah, I think if you just do it in your own time, and if then you're confident about it, when you get to telling people, you're like, well, I've already made sales, I've already done this. And you kind of at a starting point where it's harder for people to push back.
Yeah. And you mentioned earlier a little bit about sort of platforms. So if Instagram went down overnight, or if, say, back in the day when you were using Depop or other websites, how important do you think it is for people to have their own website or their own platform, just in case one day they get banned? Like, I think Politics for All got banned from Twitter the other day, and there was a massive sort of scandal about why have they been taken down. And if they'd had their own website, they may not have had that issue.
Yeah, I heard about that. It's so unpredictable. I remember when we started to do Instagram ads, our Facebook ad account got compromised.
Oh, no.
So that was probably the most stressful time I've had in business, is when something very key to the success and your sales just goes down. And obviously we've had time periods where Instagram has gone down for everybody, which maybe less of it, but I would always recommend to have be on as many platforms as you can. I think just sticking to one is not smart. I don't think it's smart. And whilst it is more work, I think it's really easy to repurpose content. So if you're doing Instagram Reels, you can be on TikTok. It's not going to like take you any more time. And if you're on Instagram, you can be on Pinterest and you can be on Facebook. Like, just cover as many bases as possible. But I think the number one most important is email marketing.
Okay.
Because I don't think that has the same sort of unpredictability that Instagram and Facebook and those social media platforms do. Because I've heard rumors that Instagram is no longer going to be a photo sharing app and it's all going to be video related. And sometimes you just have to kind of shut it out and just see what happens. But I think email marketing has always been a huge one for Artemis, and has been probably around 20 to 25% of total sales, which is a great place to be.
And a few other people on this pod have mentioned Shopify as a platform. Do you use Shopify, or do you, how do you find that experience, and how was it setting up the shop with Shopify?
Yeah, I use Shopify, and I am honestly, I should be on commission for the amount of times I recommend Shopify to people. I think it is the best website platform that I've used personally. And I do not have a coding background. I am so bad with technology, and everybody in my life can attest to that. But I managed to set up and design my website on Shopify. So if I can do that, then it's really simple and it's very user-friendly. But I would say, so we were on a platform called Big Cartel before Shopify. And you know, it was great, but you just didn't have this control that you do with Shopify. And as soon as I'd set that up, I just felt so proud of the fact that if somebody went onto the site, it was showing them exactly what I had in my head of how I wanted the brand to look. So I think the sooner you can build your own site, go for it. I think Shopify, I'm paying about £20 a month to host my site on Shopify, which in the grand scheme of things is nothing. So if you do have the money to do that, I think go for it. If not, obviously Etsy is a great alternative.
very high fees, but it's a good alternative.
Okay. I didn't know that about Etsy, but I know that a lot of people do use that for crafts and smaller items.
Yeah, Etsy's great because it has obviously its internal traffic. So you don't necessarily have to do much to drive people to Etsy because there are shoppers already there.
Yeah.
So that's a good perk of Etsy, I guess.
Okay. So the products you sell on Artemis, what are the general cost ranges that you charge to your customers?
So our costs, I'd probably say, so our average order value is around £25.
Okay.
So we have products from about £5 to about 30, maybe 40. So yeah, it's very like low range products. It's definitely not luxury. So yeah, but I think we're trying to go into, like I said before, like the tarnish free sterling silver materials that, you know, are durable and will last longer. So obviously up in the prices for that slightly, but yeah.
And what's the sort of age range of your customers as well?
I think the last time I checked, it was 18 to 24 is our biggest on Instagram. But in terms of customers, it's so different. So we started selling at physical markets recently, and the customers who buy in person are totally different to the ones you get online. You know, you'll get like 6-year-old men and women buying gifts for their granddaughters, and then online you'll get men buying for their girlfriends or for themselves. And we have a very loyal male customer recently who just buys like so much jewelry for themselves. And I think it's great. It really spans, but I'd say predominantly it's young females, yeah.
Okay. And with those markets, are those up in Manchester? Like, what's the name of the market? Where can people find the products there?
Yeah, so we do a physical market at the end of every month in Manchester, and it's at the Makers Markets. And we also are stocked in Attica, which is the biggest vintage store in London. So if you do want to buy any in person and actually check them out when you're around London.
Oh, brilliant. Yeah, I didn't know that about Artemis, but that's really good to know for the listeners. And anyone else you'd like to shout out from across the business, people that have helped you along the way, your staff or anyone else?
You know, I was thinking about this the other day and I find this really difficult because I feel like the business myself, I feel like every single person that I've met, positive or negative, they've all had an impact on the business and me. So I think just saying one or two people would be, I don't know, I'd feel bad for everybody else, but definitely my staff. I think they have really helped me. And obviously I only have 24 hours in a day. So having people who can help me out is huge. But Artemis is definitely the sum of every single person I've met and every customer we've had. So yeah, if you know me in any way, shape or form, then, you know, I have a lot of gratitude.
Excellent. And where can people find your website, which I think is brilliant, by the way, and where can they find Artemis on social media?
So Artemis is artemisaccessories.co.uk. The website on Instagram, it's just artemis.accessories and pretty much the same everywhere else. And if you want to know about me, you can just go in the link in the bio of the Artemis Instagram and check out my personal Instagram page. And I'm offering free coaching session to small business owners if you just click the link in my personal Instagram bio. So yeah.
Thanks, Charlotte. And is that an Artemis around your neck or?
Yeah, this is my creation.
Love it. Thank you so much for joining the podcast. And
thank you so much for having me.
Really, really enjoyed that chat. It was really good to hear a bit more about the journey, how you've gone from working as a student and also how you ran the business through the pandemic, which was obviously a difficult time, and then how you're flourishing now. So yeah, thank you so much.
Thank you. It's been great.
That's the end of another Hustle Up podcast. Episodes are recorded and produced by me, Josh Burrell, and music is courtesy of Hagan, spelled H-A-G-A-N, on Instagram at Hagan_UK. You can listen on all music and podcast platforms, and please like or subscribe to check out future episodes. And don't forget to follow at Hustle Up Podcast on Instagram to be kept up to date.